Hey, Ray Kaplan joining me. I saw the story today that the Education Department will begin collecting next month on student loans that are in default. My first question is, what will happen when there is no Education Department anymore? Maybe that's just a quick aside. But Ray Kaplan, welcome back to Your Money Matters.
Hello, all good questions.
Yeah, so this is for people that are in default on their student loans, which is a lot of people, right, Ray?
Yeah, it's about 5.3 million people, believe it or not. And I'm not surprised about this because it has been off of so many people's radar since March of 2020. Think about it. That's a long time ago. It's 5 years ago.
Right. Trump was president and the COVID thing, the virus happened. And they said, hey, look, let's not add to your burden. We'll stop collecting. You don't have to pay this. Biden extended it very long. And here we are now. A lot of people kind of have adjusted their lives. You know, you'd say you don't have to make a $500 payment anymore for a month, whatever it is. You know, you start to kind of adjust around that, Ray, and now when they have to pay, some of them either can't, won't, or are in real trouble.
Absolutely, and I want to tell borrowers or people out there who, if you think you have student loans, one thing that I see that happens pretty often is that your servicer is sending you email messages, but a lot of people, they're going to their junk mail. So check your junk mail to see if you have anything from the Department of Ed or one of the federal loan servicers. But if you're one of the 5.3 million Americans whose loans are actually in default, the federal government has enormous power to collect on loans when they're in default. They can go right in with something called an administrative wage garnishment and start garnishing your wages.
Yep.
And for a lot of people, that causes a big problem at work, right? So we can stop that and we can get that under control. They can also take your Social Security and they can take your tax refund. So it's pretty serious if you're in default.
Or if you're a federal worker still working, that's a really easy way for them to get your wages too. I see that that number could be up to 10 million people by the end of the year as these repayments restart. You know, look, a lot of people are going to say, good, right? You should have been paying this all along. Or, look, you didn't have to pay it when the government told you you didn't, but you should be paying this. This is something you need to pay back. And that's a fair point to make. I just do also know that 10 million people going into default can't be good for an individual's economy, let alone a country's economy.
Absolutely. The other thing I don't think most people realize is that for a lot of these borrowers who are in default, they have added 20% to the overall debt in terms of collection fees and costs, which is a huge number for a lot of people. So that's adding to the overall balance of the loan, and then that loan is accruing interest on that new higher loan balance. So it really is this bad, vicious cycle. And so there's really no reason to be in default on federal loans because there are so many avenues where we can get your loans forgiven, and we can get you into a $0 payment plan, or we can get you into forbearance. So there's no reason to be in default. If they're already garnishing your wages, then we can look at some other options, but there are things to do. My big catchphrase of the day is don't panic. It's really what I'm trying to tell people and kind of get the message out there. Don't panic, because when people panic, they make big financial mistakes like taking money out of their 401k and then they have to pay taxes on that.
Yeah, no.
There are things that we can do, right? Yeah, to get it under control.
Financialrelief.com, 312-294-8989. I could go in any number of directions on this conversation. One thing about kind of blowing up this whole system that is a little unfair is not the right word, but these are different loans than the average loan that we all take out, like with a mortgage or a car, in that there are loans that you take out and the terms of the loans have changed a billion times since a lot of people took out the loan. That is not a normal thing when it's Congress and the administrations and the changing parties that literally tear up and write new rules about your loans that you have while you have them.
Yes. Excellent point. Federal loans are very unique loans. They're not like a regular credit card debt or a private student loan. They're very unique, but with that quality comes really great benefits. The only issue is that people don't know about it, or they assume that those benefits will not apply to them. And the reality is that the law was written for the vast majority of people. And so I can't tell you how often we see people in our office who say, I'm sure there's nothing you can do for me, but I thought I would give it a shot anyway and see if you can help me. And 9 times out of 10, we can either lower your payment, get you out of default, or get your loans forgiven, or at least get them to a point where your payment goes down and it's something manageable that you can work into your budget And there's an immense sense of relief once you just know what the options are and how to handle them.
Yeah. This is a big question that we don't have a ton of time for. But, Ray, I've been reading a little bit more about how we got to this point with federal loans in general. You know, understanding that in the 60s, the government started the program where they would, the private banks still gave out the college loans, but the federal government would essentially back you up if you couldn't finish the loan. Then as part of the Obamacare to offset the payments, the government said, well, tell you what, why are we only taking the losses on this? Let's take the revenue too. Let's, you know, do these loans and, you know, we'll make money on it. And they did for a while, but that really did contribute, a lot of experts say, Ray, to the increasing cost of college, right? When college knew that the federal government was servicing the loan, they charged more because they knew that they were going to be paid at the end of the day. Ray, is it time to blow up this and start over for how we do federal student loans, if at all?
It might be time to take a real look at it. And there is a proposed legislation called the CCRA, College Cost Reduction Act. There are good things about it and bad things about it, but the aim is to address exactly what you said. Because if colleges know that no matter what, their tuition is getting paid because the loans are underwritten by the Department of Education. So if the borrower defaults, it's really the federal government that is not getting paid. So you're absolutely right in that colleges and universities had no real incentive to keep the cost down. They only had incentive to raise the tuition, which we have seen every year, year over year, since the 1990s. It has gone up over 300%. So college and universities really have had no real reason to keep the cost down. And so they're looking at ways to make it so that the colleges have skin in the game, so that if a borrower defaults, the colleges and universities will also be on the hook. And I think that might make a big difference.
Yeah, might need to blow it up and start it all over again, which might be kind of what's happening. Well, all right, Ray Kaplan, we could dive into that deeper. Point is, call if you have those loans, because Ray still may be able to do something for you. For a lot of people, she's able to at least get you some answers. 312-294-8989, financialrelief.com. Ray, take care, okay?
Okay, you too. Thanks so much, John.
Ooh, that was a lot to tackle in a few minutes there. Ray is such a pro.